A while ago, we talked about, I preached and we talked about God's family, my church. Remember that? And today is, actually, this is the result of a research. I started this research due to a question. The question was, is this metaphor the household of God or the family of God? Has any place at the table of all the other biblical metaphors about the church? And I found that actually is not only a little place there, you know, but is probably primary. When we talk about the church, we always think of a body, right, with the head. But that talks a lot about our ministry. But when we say, hey, brothers and sisters, we actually talk in the family mode, right? When we pray the Lord's Prayer, we say what? What are the first words? Our Father. Always Jesus said, I came here to make the Father known. So it's when you think about this, that we are adopted into a family, is not some, you know, the last or the middle one, you know, the metaphors, not even the second. From my point of view, is the first one. And we function in this way as the church. We function like a family. And every time when the household of God was used to describe the local church, the relational church was a target. Church is actually, we are the church. We don't go to church. And what we do here is a church service because we are priests, right? There are two things that we do as church. We make disciples and we offer services because we are priests. We are teachers, in the same time learners, but we are priests and we also enjoy worship. So it's bidirectional. And this is the business, the family business of the church. Making disciples and offering services as priests. Every time when I realized that, when I read, you know, the household of God or the house of God, every time I found the elders and the deacons. I was like, what? Why? And then I read in Titus that elders are stewards. And in a Roman household, you have the father of the family. He decided everything. He had rights on even his wives and children and slaves. He was the master. But then you have the steward or the stewards. There were maybe more if, you know, that family was really large. And these stewards were, their job was to make sure that they oversee the whole household and everyone is prepared to do their job. Like, they were slaves and they were working for other slaves and they had only one chief, that was the father. So when Peter, when Paul described this, actually they had the Roman household in their mind. I was like, that's the church. That's the local church. And the elders or the overseers or the bishops or an echo that it's too much for you because for me it's yeah, it's okay. All right, is it back or here is it? Okay. So they were making sure that slave is fed, has clothes. If that servant was in the field, he has tools, also seeds or whatever. And they were there to make sure that the whole household was working properly. Even the kids. Interesting. They had power even over the kids. And That made me to think, yeah, that looks like the church. Sometimes the church, the leadership of the church is somewhere here, you know. But what I see is actually the leadership is somewhere here. And they support the whole church. And they are very close to the voice of the Father. And they are very close to the hearts of the servants, the other servants. So I was like, that's really interesting. Beside the inspired text, I read other texts of the ancient church or early church, and that was fantastic. One of the texts is Didache. I don't know if you ever, but I will, down the road, I'll ask you to read some portions of this document. Or there is another guy, Aristides, that he was a philosopher and he described Christianity. I mean, when you read that document, you think, man, we are so far. In a bad sense, right? It's like, whoa, they were awesome. These Christians, I want to be a Christian too. When you read these documents, and they were not inspired, right? Only a few pastors or, like in this situation, this philosopher, they were describing what they saw in the Christian church. So it's a family, but it's a wonderful family. Then I don't know if you have that little piece of paper that I get. Everybody, do you have it? Because this is from now till January or whoever, I don't know when, I will try to go through all of these things. Growing together, I entitled it Growing Together as a Community. And for our guests, just please understand, here we have two churches that they want to merge and to become one. And you are here. This is the first service after the funeral. Two Sundays ago, for two Sundays in a row, we had funeral for our churches and we buried the churches, the names and everything. And now what you see here is just a core community, a community that wants to grow together, and we will plant a new church with a new vision, with a new name, with everything new. Something new. God loves new things, right? So we will try to keep up with God by creating something new. But in order to have something new, you have to define it. And this is the definition of the new. The church is, I found out that the church is all about relations. And we have to be very careful because our relationship, And the way we relate to the other speaks a lot about God. That's testimony. We bear the testimony. And by the way, in Revelation chapter 1, John said this, John who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ. It's all about relationship. It's how we see Jesus working, and he saw Jesus working, talking, he was copying Jesus, and now he was in jail. He was suffering. And he said in verse 9, he said, hey, I was in Patmos on account of the word of God because of this. You see, I love this word so much that they put me in jail for this. They exiled me. They kicked me out. I'm the scum of the society because of this, and I love it. And not only this, but because of, on account of the testimony of Jesus. What's a testimony? A testimony, it's a statement, right? So this was the statement of John's life. And he said, because of this statement, because who I am, now I'm in jail. I suffer, but I love it. I love it because I know Jesus. So this is us, actually. This is the statement of our life. If the statement of our life says something about God or about us, hey, you're in the wrong place. Get out of here. Because Jesus said, and I want just to quote this, is John 13. John 13, 35, I think. Yep. 13, 35. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples. And this is the statement. This is a statement about you and about me. If you have love for one another. I love you. You see that? Bidirectional. I love you, you love me. If I love you and you don't love me, that says something about God. You want that? Can you bear that? Because I can't. And this is sick love. If I love you and you don't love me, if I expect to show you love and I don't expect you to show love to me, that's sick. And that's why John said, and Jesus, actually, John talks like Jesus here, is, hey, this is the statement of our life. We love. And that love is without any boundaries. I love you, you love me, that's it. That's the statement. And because of that, John was suffering. They hated him. By the way, Jesus said this in John 15 later on. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before hated you. They hate us because they hated Jesus. I love it. Is it? It's not personal. You understand that? It's not personal. It's not because of you. It's because what you represent. And you represent what? What? Tell me. Come on, church. Christ. Exactly. I misled you. I said what, not who. But, hey, Christy, good job. Is we represent, we are his ambassadors. And because of that, whatever they do to us or say to us, it's not personal. Don't take it personal. It's about Jesus. And John was really proud of this. You know, I understand you guys. I know why I'm here. But I am ready to suffer for Jesus. Why? That's a countercultural mentality, right? This mindset is not normal. It's like, John, you are not normal. Do you know that? And he said, yeah, I know. Why? Because I am part of the church. I am church. Right? So we will go through this community of testimony bearers, I said. And today, I hope I will get through the biblical factor. But there are many other things that shape us, like friendship factor. We are also friends, not only brothers and sisters, right? And what is biblical friendship? What is to be a biblical covenantal community based on a covenant? Why membership, by the way? Why am I a member in this church? And we will talk, I'll give you more documents about this. It's beautiful. And then a community of disciple makers. We will talk about mentoring, how somebody is mentoring new members or new believers. This is us. God expects us from us. Small groups, spiritual parenting, evangelism. By the way, part of the discipleship is eating together. Yep. But not snacks, okay? I didn't say anything about, you know, having snacks together. This is what we are doing, right? But actually, the early church, they were eating together. And when you eat together, you know you are a family, right? You share something. And by the way, we every month we share something. And we eat something together, right? It's the Lord's Supper. That it's one bread and shows the unity. In the beginning was only one cup. And it was unity. It talks about we are one. We are so different. Oh my God. We cannot stand together, right? We cannot sit together. We cannot be together. But Jesus is our common denominator. And that's why he brings us together. So eating together, at the right moment, I will talk more about this. A community of priests. What does it mean to be priest? What is universal priesthood? What does it mean to serve like priests? Like praying together, fasting together, participating together in the Lord's Supper, serving God according to our spiritual gifts. and even praising God together. This is what we are doing here. Why we sing together? Why? Oh, yeah, because, you know, this is church. You go to church and you sing together. No, no. It's something that it's because we are priests. It's because we are, and that's why we have a church service. And then we will, at the end, we'll talk about the community of leaders. By the way, yes, there are inspirational leaders, the elders. There are administrative leaders, and these are the deacons. But you know what? There are servant leaders. That's you, and you, and you, and you, all of us. Servant leaders. We lead in serving and bring God. No, you know, I'm not me. I don't know how to do this. This is too much. This is, I'm too old. I'm too young. You are not. You are not. If you are a priest, and by the way, you know how to check if you are a priest? At the biblical check of priests. Pinch yourself. And if this is body, if you are still in your body, you are a priest. You are on duty. Just read Romans 12:1, and that's, you know, it's in there. You are a priest, you are on duty, you have to do this. And you are a leader. And then, and we will also talk about the role of the woman in the ministry. Today, as I said, I want to talk a little bit about this. And then, pay attention, because at the end of my sermon, slash message, or presentation, however you want to call it, I will ask you to share something with those around you that stood out to you, okay? So just to know, at the end, the last word is yours, not mine. So interesting, in the early church, I read this in the Didache, the personal example was so powerful. It was the testimony that made others to say, oh, I want to be a Christian. You know why? Because the Christian services, they were closed. So it's not like, would you like to come to our service? And maybe, you know, that will make you a Christian. Nah. Was not. They saw these Christians together or individual, how they acted, with their principles, how they loved. And watching them, I was like, what's wrong with you? You are so different. What's so different about you? And that was like, you know, because I follow Jesus. What is Jesus? It's not what, it's a who. And then, you know, little by little, and then they were, for 3 years, they were trained in the church before the baptism. 3 years. Hear that? And when they were ready to be part of the community, they were baptized and ushered in. That's something. That's something. But their life, their way to interact with each other, this was so attractive. It was so different. They were uncommon. Now, what's the biblical factor? One word is a relational church. I know it's not one word, but it's one concept. This church was highly relational. Would you like to put up the slide, please? So, as I said, this is the result of all the sermons and 8 or 9 sermons that we had. It's just a reminder for today, okay? But this is the foundation. This is the foundation of the new church, of something new. We are a spiritual family. Jesus said that when his family came to visit him, and the people said, hey, Jesus, your family is waiting for you. And Jesus said what? You, who is my mother? Who are my brothers and my sisters? You are. And he said, you are. What? You understand? The people listening to him, his sermon, his disciples, they were greater than Mary. Ooh. Say that to some Christians today and they're like, whoa, what is this? Yeah. He said, This is my family. You are more important. The spiritual family is more important than anything else. I'm like, yeah, well, the spiritual family is like Sunday from 10:30 to 12. Do you understand that? We have another concept of time, actually. Because they were thinking the time is when we are together and we take time to do something different. Whereas today, we are the upside down. You see that? We are in the world and we make time, if we have time, to come together with the family. It's like, it's different. But Jesus said, hey, you are, no, you are too far. You are too far. Could you go back, please? Michael, we have a spiritual family. We are a spiritual family. This is spiritual family. Then Jesus made it clear that this is what we do. This is our job, to do the Father's will. As a part of the family, as members, we must do the Father's will. What's the Father's will? Repenting is the Father's will. Surrendering to Jesus is the Father's will. Living for the glory of God, of the Father. This is His will. This is what He wants, right? And then we live by the Word of God. And the members of the family of faith also put not only their trust in the Word, but they live the Word. You understand? This is the parameter of our existence. We cannot do whatever we want to, but what is in the Word. And then in Hebrews 3, we realize that we are sent by God. Because we are family, we give attention to Jesus. Because if you understand fully Jesus, then you understand why you are here in the church, in the family. I'll just wait a little bit until Romans, and then you will make the connection. So Jesus is the most important person in the family. Therefore, if you look closely to Him, you understand what is all about in this family. And in Hebrew it says that Jesus is the apostle, the one sent by God, and the high priest. Well, the great high priest, actually. You see, when you look at Jesus, you understand this is your life. It's all about this. You are sent by the Father to sacrifice yourself. Because Jesus, as the high priest, He sacrificed Himself. So you are not part of the church to sacrifice others. That's idolatry. By the way, this is the difference between idolatry and our worship. In idolatry, you go and sacrifice others. In Christianity, you go and sacrifice yourself. You see? It's so easy to sacrifice others. One word, and that person is dead, right? So think about this. We are priests. Jesus was a priest after the order of... Oh, thank you. Remember that. And He just opened this type of priesthood for who? For who?
For us.
Well, I have a good answer for the church. I have a good answer, us. I don't see for me. I want to hear that. For me, He opened the church. He opened the door of priesthood for me. That's really personal, right? Males or females, we are all priests because of Jesus Christ. That's awesome. And then in Hebrew 3, it says that, if you remember, the entire house of God is the building, and the builder is? Yeah, you can say Christ or God. You're okay. You land where you should. The builder is God. And who has the whole honor? The builder. You know, when you come to somebody's house, like, oh, what a wonderful house. Oh, I love it. Oh, yeah. No. actually, you did this to the person, right? I was like, man, that was a good idea. I love to have a house like yours. Now, when somebody comes inside the service and inside the church, it's not like, oh, I love you, you're so kind. Oh, that's a... No. That is like, that's the house, man. You have to do this to God. Who is the most important person in this church? Not the pastor. Not the elders. Now, they are only the dogs of the flock. They are there to make sure that everything works. But who is the most important person here is God only. It's not me. The writer of Hebrews says that. We owe loyalty to this family. Why? Because Jesus was faithful, loyal to the house of God. If look at Jesus. If Jesus is loyal to his own church, how about you? How about me? Do I dare to be different than Jesus? No. The best I can do is to copy him. I want to be like him. So if somebody asks you, what do you want to do when you will grow up? Well, I want to make disciples. What? Yeah, and to be a priest. How come? Well, because I want to be like my father. Oh. It's that type of answer like Jesus gave to Mary and Joseph, right? In the temple. I'm in my father's house. Like, what? What are you talking about? You're our son. No. You understand why we are so peculiar? You understand why we are so uncommon and sometimes weird? And we are weird. For this world, we are weird. Because we are like Jesus. So, we owe loyalty to this family. Because Jesus is loyal to his family. I'm just copying Jesus. We must prove our ties with this community by holding fast until the end. It's not like, yeah, my journey was like for 3 years and I'm done. You know, there are so many after the pandemic, they went back in the world. You know that? 30% from the church. They are not coming to the church at all. They were not part of the family, actually. They were only visitors. They were visiting for a while. And then when the hard time came, like, you know, I'm out of here. In Romans 8, and this is the place, are we there? Oh, yeah. We know our place in the local church. Why? Why? Because in Romans 8, it says that Jesus is the firstborn, and now is the connection that I ask you to make. Jesus is the firstborn, and we are only brothers. You understand? The father's place is taken. The firstborn is taken. And we are only the others. If you know your place in the church, you understand what church is all about. If not, you have no idea. You have no idea. We are brothers and sisters. And he also, he's a brother, but he is the firstborn. The part of the family is, to be part of the family is the call of our life. To answer this call means you say bye-bye to individualism. You understand that? We are not a sea of individuals. We are not a community of individuals. We are a community. That's it. There is no individualism. There is no loneliness in the church. There is no selfishness in the church. When you are part of the church, you said already bye-bye to all of these. Now I belong to you, and you belong to me. By the way, this is the way the covenant talks. You are mine, I am yours. Sometimes we love only one part. You are mine. Right? Not I am yours, because that shows responsibility and sacrifice. Oh, it's so good others to sacrifice for us. So, the relationship, actually, in 1 Peter, could you go further, please? In 1 Peter chapter 1, the relationship in the church assumes a strong relationship with the Father. And Peter said that their Father is the one who evaluates each one of us without interruption. You understand that? There is no second of your life that you are not evaluated by God, the Father. By the way, do you like that or not? Good answer, Harry. I don't like that, because every second to be evaluated, say, yeah, God, could you give me a break? Like, you know, 5 minutes? No, there is nothing like that. And we owe nothing. And what is he evaluating? The text says, what is he evaluating? This is the theory. We do not owe anything to our parents, because the legacy that they gave us when we are born in this world is sinful nature. And when we are moved in the church from the world, we are moved in the church. Now we don't owe anything to our forefathers, not only parents, forefathers. Like, every generation until Adam and Eve, they made us sinners. Now we are not. We are Christians. They made me a Romanian. Since I'm a Christian, I'm no Romanian anymore. You understand that? There is no such a thing, a Romanian Christian. There is no such a thing. It's just Christian. And you know what I see here? I don't see different colors. I don't see different ages. I don't see any difference. You know why? Because we are Christians. When you become a Christian, all the differences. They cease to exist. We owe everything to the Father, and he's the most important person in our church. Do you understand how these texts actually shape our church? Maybe you don't like to be part of this type of the church, to be evaluated every second of your life, to owe everything to God, to show and to be responsible in showing brotherly love. Peter says, hey, you know, be sincere in this brotherly love. Not just show it, be sincere from the whole heart. You understand? Passionately. Do it from the bottom of your heart. This is central point in Christianity, love. Do it right. And this passionate love in 4, 7, and 11 is shown in multiple ways. One way is hospitality. And Peter gives this example. I love it. You know, to be hospitable means to love strangers. In, like, word for word, the word means a stranger lover. Those who are not like you, love them dearly, passionately. That's not possible. We hate strangers. You know, sometimes you hate strangers because they are different than you. But the family should open their homes to the Christians to have fellowship, because we are not strangers anymore. And if there are some strangers coming in the midst of our church, they will be totally transformed by this love. They have no other chance but to change. can we do this? Or this is, you know, a higher standard that we cannot, like, man, this is too high, we cannot do that. Could we lower the standard of this church? Because this church is kind of like impossible. I don't want to be a member of the church. Well, this is the church we should expect for local, every local church in Vienna and everywhere else. Service and kindness is expected because the church is a colony of heaven on earth. I'll say it again. The church is a colony of heaven on earth. We colonize Vienna. You understand that? That's awesome. Vienna is Vienna. Bucharest is Bucharest. Wherever you are coming from or where you live is that. But as Christians, we colonize. This is what we do. How? By acts of service and kindness. If you don't find kindness in the church, where should we find? Huh? Nowhere. Nowhere. Suffering is the test of authenticity. Are you a Christian? Yeah, you have to suffer. Because the outsiders, the pagans, will make you suffer. And when you will suffer, they say, okay, now it's time, you know. That was a good lesson, but now it's testing. It's the quiz. In Hebrews 10, we learn that we serve as priests in the heavenly tabernacle because Jesus actually dedicated the heavenly tabernacle for the new covenant, centralized worship. Today, we are also worshiping up there, not only here. And each one of us is a priest by singing, by praying, by giving, by talking. By the way, don't forget, at the end of my sermon, you have to talk. So it's not by listening. This is what we do as priests. And by doing this, we take another step toward Jesus Christ. Come closer, says the Hebrews author. Come closer to Jesus. And when you come together as the church, actually you take another step and another step and another step. Why? Because I want to be like Jesus. The Father's job with us is to conform, Romans 8, to conform us to the image of His Son. We know that belonging to this community is mandatory priesthood norm. We are not in this church because we are the members of this church. We are in this church because we are priests. You see, it's upside down. We are members because we are priests. And I need to find a place where to serve. Do you understand that the church is not the place where you are a spectator? Spectators are in an audience. We are not an audience. We don't grow audiences here. We grow priests that they know their place and they want to do something for the kingdom. Huh? Right? Right? Otherwise, you grow home alone, you know, or you grow like an audience. You miss the point of the church. The church is to grow together. And last two things. They are from 1 Timothy 3. I love it. Having elders and deacons, that shows the right conduct in the church, in the community. We need to have that. And in this community, you cannot be anonymous. Just pause for a second. Can you be anonymous in your own family? Like, what are you talking about? Family is all about knowing each other, right? No, I'm anonymous. Nobody knows my name. Nobody knows what I'm doing. I'm just coming. I eat, I sleep, and go back. Undercover. No way. We are family. And sometimes our relationships are broken, right? It's not a perfect family, but we are family. We are family. And you cannot be anonymous, but you expect interaction. The last point that I've learned in 1 Timothy was living the truth in the community is how we bear testimony. The family is all about keeping the truth about Jesus and making it beautiful to all the people in Vienna or whatever else. The attraction to the truth is how this truth is lived and is introduced to others. I just defined discipleship. You understand? It's how you live the truth and how you introduce it to the others. I'm like, man, I want to be like you. What can I do? Well, I want to meet Jesus. You know, you need to meet Jesus. He made me like this. I'm just an imperfect copy of Jesus Christ. I have a conclusion. Michael, the last slide is the conclusion. First of all, you cannot go wrong with the church. The church is highly relational, okay? You understand that? It's not only Sunday, you know, the relation in during the Sunday service, but throughout the week. You know, interesting, well, I've read a very small, like a sentence in Didache that made me think a lot. It says, meet with each other as many times you can. Like during the week, they were meeting only to say a prayer. By the way, that community, I don't know, they were doing this, we are not. I mean, I'm not doing this. I was like, whoa. They were saying our Father, the Lord's Prayer, three times a day. And sometimes they were meeting only to say the Lord's Supper together, and they were going separate ways. What? That it's so different. The early church was so different than ours. We spend our time for the world, in the world, and sometimes being the world. And the Word of God says, no, be the church. Be the church. Michael, do we have the conclusion? The last? No. This is the last one. Well, to be continued next Sunday, but could you go up one? Another thing that I've learned from the scripture is that, the local church is a life-giving community, not death-giving community. Not biting, not destroying others, not going back after the church service and, man, I hate it, I was at church today. I hate this church. Not destructive behavior, but loving behavior. You understand that? It's life-giving community. When you go back in the world, you are already recharged, ready for action, to give more love. Why? Because you know, is that the church is, and now it's like, imagine that you are an electrical car, and you need to be plugged. Right? You need to be plugged. And how much time does it take? I don't know. I don't have an electrical car, so I have no idea. Anybody knows? 6 to 8 hours. Yes, you hear that? Even this, right? Or more, right? So imagine that if these cars, they need 6 to 8 hours to be plugged. How about us? To be plugged to this life-giving community. In order to give love. Because here we practice love. And the last one, the local church is the community where expectations are high. Because we answer to a higher authority. By the way, when I was in the United States, there was a commercial on sausages. Hebrew sausages. And this was their thing. Because we answer to a higher authority. I love that. Just to know, if you hear that, I was inspired by that. by the Frankfurters. But it's true, the church, as a church, we answer to a higher authority, not to the pastor, not to the big gay, right? But to God. And to God be the glory.
Amen.
Amen.